Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, hello there. It's Chris Evans here. Thanks for downloading this week's podcast of the Best of the Breakfast Show with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, the comedy whirlwind that is Jo Brand telling us all about her new Channel 4 show, How to Stay Sane in a Mad World. Actress extraordinaire Alicia Vikander urges everyone to get on board with the incredible Save the Children, Pippi of Today campaign. The cheeky chappy Ben Miller appears with news of his latest children's novel, The Boy Who Made the World Disappear. And the marathon king Eddie Izzard limbers us up with news of his latest jaw-dropping running challenge. All of that and loads more still to come. Dapper Dave, who's first?
A funner runner you will not find. His marathon escapades are famous, and now he's taking it up a notch. His upcoming Run for Hope challenge will simply blow your socks off. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the human equivalent of a Duracell bunny. It's the magnificent Eddie Izzard!
Eddie!
Good morning!
You're going to be rocking it all over the where in January. Eddie, 31 in 31. Tell us more.
Yes, because COVID is here and with us, I'm going to be running 31 virtual marathons this time. Back in February, I ran 29 in 29 days around Europe, and now I'm running 31, which is going to include some world countries. It's Make Humanity Great Again. It's a fund set up to raise money for charities that make humanity great and make connections at a time that's very tricky for people, just going out there and linking up with other countries around the world and being positive and trying to help humanity stride forwards.
Eddie, I love it. You know, there's often been talk about guns fire. You're a runner for hire. You seem to just roll these out now. Do they get easier? Do they get harder? I know I saw your little thing on YouTube yesterday, which was amazing. You say it's all in the head. Is that true?
Yeah, it is all in the head. The first one I did was 43 marathons around the UK, but I took a day off each week. I've stopped taking days off, which is tricky. But I was running with some ultramarathon runners who turned up in the Lake District, and I thought it was about 80% mental and about 20% physical. I'd sort of got it to that stage. And they said, no, the joke is it's 90% mental and the other 10% is in your head. So it really is just a mind game, even though you'd think if you're physically fit, that's going to be doing it. But no, it's the mind game. And also on a treadmill, it seems way harder than outside, because if you run outside, you run down to somewhere and then you've got to run back. So there's an incentive to go back because you get back home. Yeah. But if you're on a treadmill, you can pop to the loo and you pause the thing and you pop, and then you have a bit of apple and you pause and there's other things you can do, just like, you know, anything happening in the house. So it's much trickier on a treadmill. I haven't got my head quite round it yet, but so, I'm also going to do a gig after each marathon. That's the weird thing. I'm doing a 1 hour comedy show after each marathon, which is going to be very tricky.
Now, I've seen you do this before, because I've seen you do a gig after running a marathon in the day, and you've had to hobble on stage because it wasn't your first marathon, it was like your 23rd in the middle of like 1,000 or something. Will the gigs be from home as well, or will you be going from the treadmill to a theatre near you, or what?
We're doing it from Riverside Studios. We're based at Riverside Studios, and they have studios, they have theatre spaces, and they've got a room which is going to be set up COVID safe. So we've got all this COVID-safe bubbles that we have to do, and only my road manager, Sarah Johnson, is going to be with me in that bubble. And then, so I run on that, and I should start at 12 noon, finish at about 6 o'clock, 6:30 p.m. because of stops going to the loo and that kind of thing. And then 7 o'clock, the show started, and they're streamed around the world. So people can buy streaming tickets, or they can turn up to them, and it's a best of stand-up stuff from my older days and from rather than from late days now. So I've done it twice this, but it really is hobbling, as you say, hobbling on. But adrenaline gets you through it, and then you sleep afterwards.
Yeah, adrenaline does get you through it. We've all been there in this business we call show. And by the way, to get some of your greatest hits, what a laugh! Are we talking a bit of French? Are we talking Monkeys in Trees? Are we going back that far?
Monkeys in Trees, Death Star Canteen, yes. A number of things. Some bits are known too well. Death Star Canteen is tricky because people know it too well. Which is always, it was Darth Vader going down to a canteen and ordering penne alla arrabbiata. I was channeling Darth Vader at the Leicester Forest East Service Station in about 1983 when pasta dishes started turning up on the menu. But yeah, that's I'm going to be doing old stuff there and remixing it. It's remixed, retuned for 2021.
So cool, Eddie. I've done a few marathons, don't like to talk about them. But one of the best tip, a couple of killer tips that I got when I was learning or training to run them, first ones was don't consider 13 miles halfway, consider 20 miles halfway, because that's sort of how it feels and sort of how it works and it's really sensible. But when you're running 31 marathons in 31 days, what is your halfway point then? Would it be similar? Would it be like at 25 after 25 marathons? You've done this kind of thing before. When does it really begin to hurt?
Well, I find the wall is all psychological. You know, they talk about the wall. The wall is basically the brain saying, I don't want to play this game anymore. So it's a psychological thing. It's not an actual thing. And as I was doing it, the rigorous thing I found was to count down. So I do it in kilometers because it's easy, because it goes, you know, it's 42K and you go down in bunches of 10. So I go only 40K to go, only 30K to go, only 20K, 10K, 5K, and I count down, and I count down with the actually on the treadmills, I find it's going to be time that's going to be counting down, which is slightly different. But I have to learn this new thing. But people can run with me. I will be using with a company. I'm being sponsored by people, so that people can run online with me and come on Zoom and chat to me, and they can get their avatars to join me on the run, which is going to be very interesting. So people from around the world can get on a treadmill anywhere and come and say hello.
I think I'm booked in to run with you, aren't I, for an hour or two?
I believe so, but yeah. You are someone who's experienced at running before. Do you have a treadmill at your house?
No, God, no. There. I mean, I thought I'm happy to come to yours or run outside or I don't really. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Yeah, you can come to the thing. We have a second one sitting there, and they're really good treadmills as well. So. But we have to do this COVID safe. You might be behind the window. Might be a window between us, because everyone's paranoid about, you know, London could go to tier 3.
For both of us, for lots of reasons.
Have to wear all this not just COVID safe stuff. So.
Yeah. Okay. EddieIzzard.com. Eddie, can you do us a favor? Can you put me and the team down for 20 tickets for the Riverside? We'll pay whatever you want us to pay for that.
Yeah. You just tell us a date and we'll sort it all out. Not a problem. It'll be beautiful.
So, Eddie, you're a fantastic human being. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris, for being such a good supporter, and more power to you.
All right, Run for Hope Challenge. Please get involved if you can. Find out more, go to EddieIzzard.com. Can we have a cheer for Eddie Izzard there? Thank you very much, EddieIzzard.com. Beautiful.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Dapper Dave, over to you.
If you're looking for some COVID-compliant chuckles, then look no further. Her pandemic-busting new show, How to Stay Sane in a Mad World, starts at 8 p.m. tonight on Channel 4. So please welcome everyone's favourite brand of humour. It's the one and only Joe Brand.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, good, thanks, Chris. How are you?
Very well. What's going on in your world?
Not much.
Yeah? How are your mornings? What's your usual regime, Ms. Brand?
My usual regime is, obviously, if I can get there at 6, I'm down the gym for a couple of hours. And then I have a kale smoothie.
Yep.
Then I read Caesar's Gallic Wars in the original Latin.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm in bed for ages and I don't do anything.
What time do you get up usually? What time do you rise?
Well, because you'll experience this at some point in the next 10 years, or you may be doing that now because you get up early anyway. But when you get older, you wake up when you don't want to.
Right.
You know, when I was a student, I used to wake up just before countdown. And now I kind of wake up at sort of 6 o'clock in the morning. So I just get up and move around in a very miserable way till I wake up properly.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because yesterday I was trying to get people excited about just waking up in the morning. Because I think life is amazing. I really do, you know. And one of the, you know, we get up in the morning. We are, like it or not, aware of it or not, we are on our own spaceship now with 7.8 billion other human beings traveling at 67,000 miles an hour now. And that's within our solar system. Then our solar system is moving at a speed of 490,000 miles an hour in the universe. I think that, for starters, I think that's quite exciting.
It is. And have you been speaking to Professor Brian Cox?
No, because every time I try, he melts my mind. I did this thing with him.
Tell me about it.
At Clifton at the Literary Festival. And they said, would you do Brian? I said, yeah, it's easy because you only ask him one question. He talks for an hour and that's it. You can go home. In fact, I could have gone home after I asked the question, to be honest. But some people are going to be too clever for their own good, Joe.
You're right.
I watched your show last night. It's just what we need. It's the tonic we need. It's on tonight, everyone, 8 p.m. Joe Brand's How to Stay Sane in a Mad World. And it literally is an A to Z, isn't it?
It literally is an A to Z list, yes. So obviously we've had to crowbar a few things into the more difficult letters of the alphabet. But I think it's kind of like a good mix. It's positive. It's kind of, it's not serious really, although there are some kind of serious facts in there to sort of help people. And it's just looking at the sort of second wave of things. You know, I think we've said that banana bread, so passé, from lockdown one. And, you know, it's just kind of moving on. And there's a real mix of great people on it, I think, that you probably wouldn't expect.
Of course, we start at A, and you were straight in there with alcohol. How's it been for you, lockdown one and lockdown two? We're hearing London is going to go into tier three again a week tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. I know. So, well, how's alcohol for me during lockdown generally?
I'll take anything, to be honest.
Well, alcohol-wise, to be honest, I don't drink anymore. It's not for any particular reason other than that I inherited from my mother the ability to be absolutely face down in the gutter after half a teaspoon of sherry. So I'm a bit dangerous in that sense, right. So I don't bother.
OK, so that's a non-starter. I've got this enzyme issue. Well, I'm describing it as that, because now I am a very, very cheap date, Joe, you know, and I've had plenty of previous with regards to pretty much the opposite, not so much for like a day or a weekend or, a week-long bender, but maybe 4 or 5 years, but now a couple of pints and I'm all over the place. What's that about? You used to be a nurse. Come on, tell me.
Well, I think that's about, I'm sorry to say this, but as you get older, your inability to sort of process alcohol is not quite so efficient. And also, you know, hangovers are so much worse when you're older. Like when I was a student nurse, I could virtually not go to bed, although I shouldn't say this because I went to work on kind of like an hour and a half sleep after being up all night, yeah, and function perfectly well. But I'm afraid age dictates that you just simply cannot do that anymore. So you have to watch it a bit, really.
No, it's so true. It's so true. All right, Joe Brands, How to Stay Sane in a Mad World. How mad did your world get in lockdown? Or is it still, Joe?
My big problem was in lockdown was that my brain kind of seized up a bit. I've never had a brilliant memory, but it kind of got so much worse. And I would find myself, one thing that worked for me is I did learn how to construct lots of sort of technical setups to do Zooms and kind of camera stuff from home. So that, so I can do that, but everything else went. And I would just forget things I knew really well at the drop of a hat. And I know they call that brain fog, but I think that's only if you actually have a long form of COVID. So I did begin to suspect for a while that I might do, because I couldn't remember anything.
Well, as I say, this programme last night, I watched it last night, it's on tonight on Channel 4 at 8 p.m. Joe Brand's How to Stay Sane in a Mad World, literally an A to Z. When I saw you begin at A, I thought, oh, I must have got this wrong. This must be like a 4-episode series, but it's all in the hour.
It is indeed.
Wow.
We'll have to do a different alphabet for the next one if we ever do it.
Okay. Just give a name check to the people that are in this with you and give us a couple of highlights before you go, a couple of letters and what they tell us.
Okay. Well, we've got, for example, Richard Coles, who's brilliant, Rosie Jones, Inel Tomlinson, who's a comedian and Twitch star. And I'm so old, I don't even know what Twitch is. Isn't that awful? We've also got financial advisors. We've got chefs, the Scottish curry champion. How about that? Showing us how to create a fake away, psychologists, dog trainers, outdoor swimming society ambassadors, it's all, I think there's one of my favourites is the whole concept of doom scrolling, which is people that sit there scrolling online and just getting absolutely terrified by what they read.
And why do you do that? That's mad.
Well, loads of people do that, Chris. You'd be surprised. I mean, obviously, the anxiety's gone up, hasn't it, a lot during, during lockdown. And some people just cannot help themselves. Yeah. Just kind of looking for even things to make them even more anxious. So there's advice on how to deal with that, for example.
All right. Joe, it's lovely to talk to you. What are you doing for Christmas? Do you know yet?
There's not much choice. We're just doing the little nuclear family thing. Two daughters, husband, me, cats. Mm. You know, yeah, be good. I'm looking forward to it in a weird way.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks for being on the programme today.
Pleasure.
Joe Brand's How to Stay Sane in a Mad World is very good. I saw it last night. On tonight for everybody else, 8 p.m. on Channel 4.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
As Lara Croft, she's a heroine to millions. As herself, she's championing some real superheroes. The brilliant Save the Children Pippi of Today campaign is alive and kicking. And here to tell us all about it is the Oscar-acquiring Swedish superstar that is Alicia Vikander.
Good morning, good morning. Alicia. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Very well. Did you like your intro?
Oh, I thought it was pretty spectacular. Thank you for that. It really woke me up in the best way. Great way to start the day.
It could only be better if it was in your mother tongue of Swedish. Would you like to hear it in Swedish?
Yes, please.
Okay, hang on a second. Dave, who's on XS, please?
Hon är här för att berätta allt om Save the Children's Pippi of Today kampanj. Selvi säger, här kommer Pippi Långstrom, Kjell Hopp, Kjell Hej, Kjell Hoppsen, Sär och välkomna den starka, den modiga och den vänlig snälla Alicia Vikander!
Yay!
Wow!
Come on
I,
now!
I must say, for every English-speaking listener, I prefer this one. First of all, I'm so impressed. But also, you just said that I'm very nice. That was how you described me in Swedish.
Yes, yes, you are. Yeah, brave, kind, and nice.
But that's a very special. That's a very Swedish way of describing someone.
It is. Yeah. See, well, Pippi Longstocking.
Who's Longstrop?
Pippi is brave, kind, and nice.
Okay, but now we're jumping the gun here.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. It is
very strong.
David's my show.
Sorry.
Can I keep the rhythm of the narrative to what's in my head?
Yes.
No, let's go with you. Now, the reason, Alicia, the reason Dabba Dave can do all this is because he is married to a Swedish lady.
Yay.
Oh, fantastic. I wish my husband only knows a few naughty words, but hopefully one day.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you live in Portugal, yes?
Yes.
No fash mal, no
exactly.
Fash mal in Portugal. But Dapper Dave, he has a bit of, and I know you like to be private, Lissy, and I promise I won't go anywhere you don't want to go, but Dapper Dave here, he was also married to a Swede, as is your husband, because he's married to you, who's on the radio with me now, right? Dapper Dave has an apology to your husband, which he'd like to pass on. Is that okay?
Sure, of course.
Right, here we go. Off you go. Tell the story again. This is interesting.
Hi, Alicia.
What did you
do? In 2009, yeah. I'd had mm-hmm. a little bit too much to drink in Hackney, in East London.
I'm sure he still holds a grudge. Yeah,
yeah. And I got out of a taxi, staggered out of a taxi, and somebody tried to get into the taxi before I'd got out of it. And I went, "Oi, mate, wait a minute." And it turned out it was your husband. And I immediately realised and said, "Oh my God, I loved you in Hunger. I just watched you in Hunger. You're brilliant. I love you. Oh, I'm so sorry, Michael." It was a bit embarrassing, but I'm sorry for shouting at him.
So
I'd have a little
apologize?
Bit.
I hope that he, wasn't too naughty. Yeah.
He was
nice.
Michael's got a bit of previous, because Michael, the last time he came on the show, he said, "We've met before," to me. And I said, "Well, I've interviewed you before." He said, "No, we never met. But the last time I met you, I didn't mention the fact that we met before." So your hubby, Dave, it's one all between you and Michael, because he once knocked on my door in the middle of the night with Johnny Vegas.
What?
Yeah, because he used to work in a bar in Camden, and Johnny took him out for a drink and they ended up at my house.
My God, his memory is brilliant.
It's unbelievable. So it's one all. So
okay.
we're looking forward to the decider. Anyway, none of that is why Alicia has bothered to answer our phone call. Alicia, what's going on with you and Pippi Longstocking? Dave has brought the books in from home. So tell us about Pippi Longstocking, first of all, in case people don't know about her and why she's important today.
Yes, well, we couldn't have a better poster girl to kind of be the front of this new campaign that we have with Save the Children. It's about, young children, young girls that are on the move without parents, without homes, much like actually Pippi in her books when she arrives in a small little Swedish town and doesn't have any parents, but still is, a remarkable kind of girl who stands up for other people, who is brave, who is strong, who is very individual. And right now, I was so thrilled when they called me up and asked me, because I grew up with these books and I love these books still. One of my favorite is Pippi Celebrates Christmas, which is, perfect for the time we're in right now.
Yeah.
So I went into the studio and recorded a few books that you can find on Spotify. But to support the campaign, you can go and buy one of the books online right now and give 10% to the campaign.
I didn't know that was part of this deal, because it's very important we increase the profile of what's going on here. People can find out more about everything to do with what Alicia's talking about. SaveTheChildren.net/Pippi. SaveTheChildren.net/Pippi. PIPPI. So when you took on, when you inherited the amazing role of Lara Croft, did you channel your inner Pippi?
Yes, I kind of did, I guess. I mean, I guess Pippi was one of the first very strong female role models I had in my life.
Yeah.
So even before I then went on, I was actually quite young when I played the Tomb Raider games the first time. I remember I was so terrified. But I think it was like some ice bear or like, you know, polar bear or something that scared me off. So I mostly trained her in her mansion. I was probably like 9 or 10.
The Pippi Longstock in TV show was on when I was a kid, and I'm a bit older than some people here and a lot older than a lot of people here. And so they'd never heard of Pippi Longstock. And in fact, it was just Dave, who's married to a Scandi, and myself. But I'm excited because they are fantastic stories, and this could introduce a whole new audience to Pippi Longstock.
Yes, and you know, and I love those TV series too. I watched them. Something that I didn't know as an adult when I actually came across the TV series, but you know, many years later, I think with, you know, one of my friend's children, I realized, I was like, why are some of the characters like, you know, talking with such weird faces? And then apparently, you know, back in the days, it was quite a big production. Sweden was a small country. So they, you know, as you get nowadays making films, they got some funding from Germany. So some of the actors are German and they're being dubbed in Swedish amongst the Swedish other real actors.
I love it.
And that's why some of the characters just seem so off. And I did not ever get that as a child.
I didn't know that either. But TV reception was so bad anyway in the 70s. We didn't really care as long as there was something other than nothing on the box. Alicia, lovely to talk to you. Please do remember Dapper Dave's drunken expose to Michael.
Of course, have a very happy
Christmas. Lovely to talk to you again, and look after yourself.
Happy Christmas. Take care.
Happy Christmas. Alicia Vikander, Pippi of today. Find out more. SaveTheChildren.net/Pippi. Wonderful to have Pippi Longstocking back in our lives and back on the radio via the fantastic Alicia Vikander.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been treated to three super guests already, but there's still so much more to come. Creator of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, gets all festive with news of Santa HQ. The finest columnist going, Catelyn Moran, makes a date in our diaries for next year's sure to be brilliant Life Lessons Festival. The weight loss and plant-based guru, Dr. Michael Greger, gets our mouth watering with recipes from his new book, The How Not to Diet Cookbook. And the ever so awesome Alan Jones dishes out wisdom from his new album, Blessings, and accompanying book, Everyday Blessings. All of that and more still to come, so let's get right back to the action. Dapper Dave, who is next?
She's got a very big brain full of very big ideas, and you can be in the room when she says them out loud. She's appearing at next year's Life Lessons Festival, and tickets are on sale now from lifelessonsfestival.com. So please welcome a lady that can teach us all a lesson or two. It's the brilliant Catelyn Moran!
All right, Catelyn, how are you?
It's me!
It's definitely you!
It's literally, genuinely, all the time me.
It's 100% you. How are you, Catelyn?
I'm really good. I'm sad I'm not in the studio. Last time I was there, you were having basically a party.
Yeah, I know. Well, you are. Well, I think you were allowed in the building because you're technically a member of staff, aren't you?
Yeah, no, it was during a time when we could do things and you'd got Billie Piper in and she was still drunk from the night before. She was celebrating I Hate Susie.
I really never felt
bigger booze waves coming off a living individual. She was in a heroic state. It was quite incredible.
She and Lucy Prebble, and of course Lucy did a podcast with us. You were there to do a podcast as well as appear on the air, and you were our second ever podcast. Catelyn, thanks so much for supporting us back in those heady days of trailblazing and pioneering nervousness.
Oh, mate, well, you know, there can't be too many places where you can go to have a think. Like, the world is confusing, and the fact that you're doing, you know, a series of podcasts where it's a chance to sit down and go, hang on, I might need some help, give me some new ideas. I just think it's such a great idea.
So that was a few months back now. What have you been writing and thinking about since?
Oh, everything, obviously. You're talking about fire pits then. How are you getting your fire pit to work? Whenever I light a fire pit in the garden, I just inhale smoke and my contact lenses dry out. No. And then that's the end of that.
So. It is a bit of an issue. You can't do it on a Sunday because you won't be able to speak on the radio on Monday. It's like having a massive fag.
No, but it's just basically you realise why medieval people tried to invent central heating. I can't handle them. No, I've been working on my new book, still writing the columns for the Times and stuff. And now we've got this big festival coming up, which you're going to go to. And I love that they've now started inventing grown-up festivals. Like, so this festival that we're doing, the Life Lessons, it's, even when I used to go to a festival when I was younger, you would leave feeling worse. You'd have a great time at the time, but you're there, you're drinking, you're jumping around.
Yep.
You have to wear your bad clothes because you're probably going to roll around in the mud or be pushed into a toilet.
Yep.
And you would leave it feeling wrecked. But these Life Lessons that we're having in May, you can go there in nice clothes. You're not going to get drunk, yeah. And you're going to leave feeling better because there's people there. I'm going to be walking around absorbing ideas. I've got some of my biggest heroes. They got you and Brian Cox doing one. Robert McFarlane's doing one. He's a naturist who I absolutely adore. Ruby Wax, one of my all-time heroes. Dr. Adam Rutherford. It's just a big festival of brain and loveliness.
Yeah, I mean, you can have one over the eight if you like. The option is there. You know, there are buffets. There's fuel of all sorts to be imbibed.
Oh, no, but it's not necessary,
no,
you know?
No,
like you get
not
to a certain
necessary.
Age where you're like, you look for social events where you can go and see friends and go and do something where it's not necessary to get drunk. I always cling to those ones. It's like, yeah, I don't have to. That's optional. That makes me happy.
Yeah, no, we did Run Fest Run last year because we couldn't do it this year because of COVID, and we're doing it again next year. And everybody said they came back fitter, some leaner than on the Monday than they were on the Friday. Unheard of, but it is possible. That is out there for you.
I know. And isn't it so nice being able to talk about things that actually are going to happen where we can go out? Like, I can't remember the last time we heard someone say tickets are on sale for a live event. Like, it feels like, well, it has been a year. It's just so nice to have something to look forward to. So,
I got to say, you know, I didn't realise that Eli, our 8-year-old, I was waiting for him to have my tea last night because he hadn't arrived home from school. And Tess said, you're going to be waiting some time till 9:30 because the Panto in Windsor is back on and he went to it yesterday. I mean, that's so cool.
I know, it's so lovely having these little bits of normalness come back and, like, you cling to them so much. And, like, I'm just looking at the Life Lessons thing now and just, like, thinking. So my biggest hero who's playing there is Robert McFarlane. And he's the guy who's, like, a naturist. And one of the things he does is collect words that are dying out because we don't talk about nature so much because we don't go out in it. And I'm just looking through a list here. He's got a list of words for rain that we don't use anymore. We know all about this 50 words for snow. The English and the Irish and the Celts have 50, over 100 words for rain. So smur is extremely fine, misty rain that looks like smoke in appearance when it's seen from a distance because it's so fine. And Letty is enough rain to make outdoor work difficult, which I would say is about 90% of the rain that we have in this country.
See, this is kids. This is why you should try and carve out a career in writing, because you have time to sit at home going, I'm going to spend a few hours looking at this, which real people with real jobs don't have time to.
Well, this is why these festivals are, and you know, that is my job. But like, I think everybody should have, I recommend this is hugely, have just a piece of paper somewhere on your desk or like a note on your laptop or your phone where you collect lovely words. They're a really lovely thing to flick through. Like, some of my favourites are cathedral, shagreen, which is a type of leather, uxorious, which means being a good husband, jubilee, which always sounds fun. And like, sometimes if you're just sitting there feeling a bit sad and you just flick through the beautiful words that we've come up with, because you talk to people who speak other languages, they all agree that English is one of the most beautiful and useful languages.
Yep.
It's like a really easy language to use. And like, that's one of our greatest national treasures. And just being able to flick through these beautiful things we've invented.
All right. Great to hear from you again, Kathleen. What are you doing for Christmas?
We've bought an official market stall from a shop that sells official market stalls, so we can put it in the garden and have our allowed bubble over. So I've got I'm literally a Cockney market stall owner now. I've got a proper market stall. I've put a table and chairs in it, and we'll put whoever's allowed in it on Christmas Day.
Hang on a minute. We've been talking about this all week, about the construction, the fashioning of outdoor garden social spaces, and we've been looking at gazebos, we've been looking at ones that are like £1 million on eBay, then we've been looking at ex-event ones, which are like a penny on eBay, but you've gone for the... How did this idea enter your life?
Well, I was like, you know, who's going to know about the most reliable semi-permanent structure? It's going to be people who run market stalls. They're out there every week in all kinds of weathers. That's going to be the most durable one and easy to assemble. So I can put them up and put them down. So I think it was about £300, and it's got like the see-through windows on it so that people can look through and see your produce. Or in our case, it stops occluding my view out of my patio doors and down the garden.
Right, we're all writing it down. Market stall. Okay, can you start?
Yeah, they're really good. You can find them online. You can have many colour as well. They're very jolly. It's the perfect size to fit a table that you can fit six people around. So that'd be my recommendation today. Market stalls. Pretend you're a Cockney market stall owner.
All right, Catelyn. Thanks so much. Have a lovely day.
My pleasure. Take care.
Are you vaping, by the way?
Yes, I am.
I can tell. I thought she's having a cup of tea or she's having a good old vape. All right, Catelyn. See ya.
Take it off.
Ta-da. Bye. Life Lessons Festival 2021 for brains such as Catelyn's to be shared with brains such as ours. LifeLessonsFestival.com if you want to feel a bit cleverer.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Our next guest is everyone's favourite Christmas prezzy, and he has two to offer us. His best-selling book, The Night I Met Father Christmas, has some all-new tinsel sprinkles, and he's also starring in a high society Netflix series, Bridgerton, dropping globally via your Sky Q on Christmas Day. He's also a comedian and a podcaster, so please welcome a man who never sits stiller. It's the brilliant Ben Miller.
Wow, that's very good. Very good. Morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning. I've got to ask you about Bridgerton, first of all. Bridgerton, all episodes drop Christmas Day. Netflix via Sky Q. Very exciting. It's a lavish drama, it has to be said. Now, I'm very excited about this, Ben, because I used to live at the gatehouse to Windsor Great Park. And in the summer, in the baking, scorching hot days of 2020, summertime, somebody was filming a massive period piece. And I watched episode one last night. I thought, hang on a minute, it was Ben and his friends. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely it was. Yes, so we filmed... Yeah, so let's see, we filmed Windsor Great Park. We were at Stowe, that beautiful house at Stowe. We were at the famous Crescent in Bath.
Yeah.
We were
Oliver. Oh, the Oliver Crescent.
Yeah, Oliver. Yes. We were all over. We were, if it was stately, we were bothering it.
They're saying it's the period version of Gossip Girl. Now I don't really know what that means, do you?
I do. So Gossip Girl is basically set in sort of New York, high society New York, and there's a sort of a gossip sheet, effectively, that's run by one of very many high-flying, attractive young people, and it's all about the gossip of what's going on in their, you know, in their society. And this is similar in that this is really about the very beginning of gossip sheets, the very beginning of tabloid journalism. So it's set in Jane Austen times, Regency period, and there's a lady, a mysterious figure called Lady Whistledown, who publishes a gossip sheet about all the characters. And the main family, the Bridgertons, they're just beginning the marriage season and their eldest daughter is about to be married. And obviously the stakes are huge because they have only these few weeks, enormous events like balls and garden parties in order to meet their prince or their duke get married by the end of the season, basically, is the idea. So it's a sort of, it's like, that's, I think, why people say Jane Austen meets Gossip Girl, because it's the setting of Jane Austen with the intrigue and the wit and the sophistication of Gossip Girl.
And it's not bereft of its upper-class rumpy-pumpy, is it?
Oh, I think it begins with rumpy-pumpy.
It does.
There's rumpy-pumpy in the middle and it ends with rumpy-pumpy.
It's the old boomerang rumpy-pumpy. It keeps on coming back, my friend.
There's none for me, sadly. None for my character.
No.
It's been a long time. I was just...
Well, it was a very hot summer and you're of an age.
It caused me to reflect, Chris. It did cause me to reflect. I think I was looking at all these wonderful young people and thinking, would I have ever been rumpy pumpy fodder in a show like this? I think the answer is probably no.
No, but
I do.
Yes, go on.
But it's a long time since I was asked to remove so much as a sock in a drama.
And it's so unfair, because in the papers today, I don't know if you've seen the papers today, but Helena Christensen is in the paper today. She's done this new photo shoot. She's 52. I don't know how old you are, Ben. I'm 54. How old are you?
54.
Yeah, same. I don't know how some people carry it well and others, well, we just carry everything in all the wrong places, don't we? It's just not fair.
I don't know. It looks like
amazing.
Cars, isn't it? Some people manage to, you know, change the speedometer, don't they, on their
they
own?
They do!
You
know, oh, what, yeah, wind the clock back, the bit of clock doctrine.
They wind it back. Yes. I really don't know how they do it. I've just been spot on. for 54. And sadly, that means I get to watch all these lovely people having these romances and intrigues and you know, rumpy pumpies.
Right now, that's that then. So we've got to mention it again because it's huge. We'll mention it loads of times up to Christmas. Bridgerton, it's so good. It's so cool. I watched the first episode last night. Aussie James watched the first two. I had to go to sleep. All episodes drop Christmas Day, Netflix via Sky Q. It is the big new epic miniseries or maxi-series, call it what you like, Bridgerton. But quickly before you go, The Day I Fell Into a Fairy Tale, out now. We talked to you about that before. And The Night I Met Father Christmas has been re-released for good behaviour, I understand.
It has. It's not on the naughty list anymore. It's on the nice list. It's wonderful. Yeah, so this is a story about a boy. I wrote it for my oldest son, actually, when he was nine. And it's a story about a boy who wakes up, meets Father Christmas, goes on a ride with him around the world as he helps him deliver his presents. And as they go, Father Christmas tells him the story of how he became Father Christmas.
That is so cool. So cool.
And it's not the story you expect either. Father Christmas, it turns out, was a rather sort of, slightly misanthropic, Scrooge-like character who then had a bit of a change of heart.
Redemption.
Redemption, thank you.
It's a story of redemption.
It's a story. It's a Christmas story of redemption.
Love it. And do you want to mention The Day I Fell Into a Fairy Tale again? Because that's good for Christmas.
Yeah, that's the one I wrote for my daughter, my youngest daughter. And that's about Lana and her older brother Harrison has stopped playing with her, stopped playing imaginary games with her. And she discovers this mysterious supermarket that opens on the edge of her hamlet. You see? a mysterious supermarket opens on the edge of the hamlet. And in it, there's a tunnel in the pick and mix that leads to the land of fairy tales. She takes Harrison with her and it brings them back together as a brother and sister.
Ben Miller, The Day I Fell Into a Fairy Tale is out now. Ben Miller's The Night I Met Father Christmas. The 2020 Gold Edition is out now. And Bridgerton, all episodes drop Christmas Day, Netflix via Sky Q.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Normally, we wouldn't just introduce someone by reading out their Wikipedia entry, but I don't think our next guest will mind. He is an American-British internet entrepreneur born on August 7th, 1966, brackets age 54, in Huntsville, Alabama. He's bringing news of an online Santa HQ for kids who can't see Santa this year, so please welcome the man who puts the information in the superhighway. It is Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, very well. How the heck are you, my friend?
Very good.
I've just got to talk briefly about that thing you invented called Wikipedia. I mean, what was the first entry ever on Wikipedia, please?
Oh, the first entry ever. Well, we forgot. We lost some of the very early data, but I know the first words ever because I typed them personally. I wrote "Hello World" in the front page of Wikipedia, wow. And that was the first words of Wikipedia.
And Wikipedia turns 20 next year. Any plans for any particular celebrations?
You know, I think we're going to have a Zoom party. I mean, as tragic as that is, 10 years ago here in London, I had just kind of gotten to London. We did a big big party in an art museum and blah, blah. This year, we're just going to be on Zoom like everybody.
Wow. How do you feel about it 20 years on?
I mean, it's amazing. It's really been a fantastic thing to be a part of this community of people, volunteers, writing an encyclopedia. And obviously, the way things have gone with social media and all the aggression, the anger, the misinformation, we feel pretty validated that we're trying to do the right things.
So when was Santa HQ born? And was it in the middle of summer? Was it like recording a Christmas special at the wrong time of the year?
Yeah, no, this summer I started thinking about this concept that because of coronavirus, people really shouldn't queue up in long lines and with screaming children. I, as a parent of three children, I never found it fun going to visit Santa Grotto just because of all the crowds and all of that. And I realized, hey, this could move online. And so partnered with Ministry of Fun here in London and Prism Digital, and we put together this thing. It's offered worldwide, and you can come on, and the children get about a 10-minute chat with a real-life Santa. So it's actually, in some ways, it's more intimate because you've got more time, and it's fun. It's keeping a lot of these the performers employed, which is also important.
Okay, and the performers, they are merely representatives of the real Santa, obviously.
Well, you never know which ones are, but it's a magical experience, and I think people will enjoy it. And, right. And you know, it's a tough year. I think we've got to do what we can to cheer up the children, because although, adults, we all worry about it and all that, but so do the kids. you know, and they're a little concerned about the world and all that. And we want to show them, hey, you know what? Christmas is coming. Everything's going to be fine. Vaccines here, you know.
It's so cool.
It's all good.
It's so clever as well. I mean, I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of how it might be done for obvious reasons, but how's it going? How's the take up?
It's good. It's good. We've got, you know, slots available 24 hours a day because, you know, we're global on the internet. And I think the feedback people are really giving us is there's an app with like 30 different activities for kids to do. So they make little notes and hide them around the house with their parents, and they do crafts and things, little funny little videos with the elves. So we try to make a, you know, kind of get everybody in the Christmas mood and a kind of a whole digital experience, not just the meeting of Santa, although the meeting of Santa is really the capstone of the whole thing.
Because you have amazing ideas, and you've always had amazing ideas, and I presume you always will. I bet you loved Christmas, didn't you, when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really love Christmas. I actually, my funny story about Christmas is when I was four, I thought I'd be very clever, and I asked Santa for something, but I didn't tell my parents.
Right.
I was quite disappointed Christmas morning as it got lost in the shuffle. And I made the error of, it was the thing I really wanted the most.
Right.
So I felt clever for having figured something out, but actually it wasn't so great.
So the opposite story of that is when he was a kid, my friend, he ran downstairs a couple of days before Christmas and he said to his dad, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, I know I said I wanted a bike for Christmas, but I don't want a bike anymore." And his dad said, "But why? But why?" He said, "I've just found one behind the wardrobe in your bedroom." If you were going to ask Santa for anything this year, Jimmy, what would it be at the age of 54? Same age as me, child of 66. Come on now.
Oh, I always dream. I have a house in the countryside, and I always dream of a white Christmas.
Oh, and how's that dream going?
Not very badly. Very badly.
I
have to move to Finland or something. I don't really want to do that.
So. Can I just ask you before you go? I mean, I know you can't ever really IPO Wikipedia. If you were willing to, and I'm sure you wouldn't ever be willing to, but you might be. But if you're willing to, could you do that? A, would it be legal? B, do you still have enough control of that for that to happen and for you to get that house in any country you like or every country in the world?
No. Wikipedia is owned by the Wikimedia Foundation, which is the charity that I set up.
Right.
So in a way, it's like asking if the Red Cross could do an IPO. It's just not really a thing.
All right, pal. Okay. Well, happy Christmas to you, Jimmy.
Lovely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. You're very welcome. Fascinating man. You search any TED Talk with Jimmy Wales from the last 20 years. They're all absolutely fascinating. And there he is with a brand new thing. Book your video call with Santa for the Kids at santahq.app, my friends.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
They say a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, but not if you listen to our next guest. His latest book, The How Not to Diet Cookbook, is out today, so please welcome the weight loss boss, always coming from a plant-based place. It's the wonderful Dr. Michael Greger.
Good evening, Michael.
Happy to be here.
So your book, this one, there have been thousands, but this particular one, the How Not to Diet Cookbook, is the most awaited book in the Evans household this year, along with the Jerry Seinfeld book, Is This Anything. So well done, congratulations on that alone.
Thank you so much. Sounds like a good companion.
Yeah, not bad at all. Okay, so first principles of this particular book, please, Dr. Michael.
Well, not only did I want to make every single recipe healthy, but including all the desserts, but every single ingredient of every recipe to be healthy. So how do you make something salty without salt? How do you make something sweet without sugar? Those are some of the challenges we face. Really proud and what we're able to accomplish with it.
And as always, there we go, straight off the bat, page 14 in Roman numerals. That's a bit tricky at this time in the morning. You have Dr. Greger's Anything But Dirty Dozen, the Daily Dozen. Tell us about those again, please.
Oh, well, that's from my original book, How Not to Die. First half of the book, 15 chapters on each of the 15 leading causes of death, talking about the role diet may play in preventing, arresting, reversing each of our top 15 killers. But I didn't want it to just be a reference book. I wanted to be a practical guide on making day-to-day grocery store-type decisions. So that's the second half of the book, where I center my recommendations around a daily dozen checklist of all the healthiest of healthy foods I encourage people to eat. So berries every day, the healthiest fruits, greens every day, the healthiest vegetables, a tablespoon of ground flax seeds, a quarter teaspoon of turmeric, the best beverages, the best sweeteners, how much exercise to get every day. It's available as a free app, iPhone, Android. Again, just to kind of inspire people to include some of the healthiest of healthy things in their daily diet.
Yeah, they are the tenets of this book, as well as all the others, though, as well. Vegetable chirashi bowls. We could kick off with that, I suppose, because that includes the best way to cook vegetables. Off you go.
Oh, well, I mean, it depends what you're doing is nutrient preservation or if you're interested in taste. I'm a big fan. There's a number of recipes in the book on roasted vegetables. Veggies can undergo a complete transformation in terms of changed taste, in terms of changed texture, get all caramelized. So there's a, you know, black cumin rub balsamic roasted cauliflower I really like. There's a cauliflower Alfredo linguine with roasted asparagus. You know, basically anything creamy, some of my favorites. You know, the spinach and artichoke stuffed portobellos. You know, trying to make vegetables sexy again.
And they are. They just are. And once you cut out the SOS, the salt, oil, and the sugar, and you begin to give your taste buds a chance to actually do their job again, it all becomes so much more obvious, evident, and joyous. And what a joy to talk to you again. This is Shock Horror, a scientific evidence-based diet book, who needs gimmicky anecdotes, is what you say, you know, when you can have scientifically proven strategy. And the thing is, Michael, you know, the first book, the How Not to Die cookbook, went to number 3 in the New York Times bestseller list. Why isn't that book, and why isn't this book, you know, this book hasn't had a chance yet, but why don't these two books, why aren't these the most, why aren't these the best-selling books in the world, you know, including over books like The Bible?
Well, New York Times Review books did call my last cookbook their favorite cookbook of the season. Hopefully we'll get the same kind of praise. The Publishers Weekly put out a really nice review. I mean, this is tis the season. This is the time, particularly during this strange season we find ourselves in, where people may not be taking optimal care of themselves. So, again, you know, it's just taking the mountain of evidence, which was in How Not to Diet from last year, which is getting published in paperback in the UK January 7th. Perfect timing for the cookbook. You know, so I wanted it to make a practical guide on putting some of that science into practice.
But do you think the reason, you know, our household included, do you think the reason many kitchen shelves are full of cookbooks is because there is an inherent dopamine hit in buying another one?
Well, I mean, yeah, I remember I didn't want to do a cookbook. I said, who buys cookbook? There's like a million free recipes online. Like, why would you actually buy a book? But people love cookbooks. And, you know, to my disappointment, the cookbook, How Not to Die cookbook, actually sold better than How Not to Die, which I spent over a year of my life, thousands of citations, had a whole research team scouring the libraries, and that didn't sell as well as, you know, let's make something yummy with Brussels sprouts.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? How can a book called How Not to Die, I mean, it's doing really well now, and it will sell forever, but How Not to Die? It's what most of us spend our lives distracting ourselves away from. There's a great book, isn't it? They're called The Denial of Death, or Death Denial, that's been published this year as well. Yeah. You know, amazing. A book called How Not to Die. Why isn't it? I don't understand, Michael.
Well, the next book, which I'm sitting down to write next month,
yes,
which will be out December 2022. How Not to Age, on all the longevity research out there. So that should be another interesting one.
Well, you're awesome, Michael. Thanks so much for your help.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. Keep up the good work.
You're welcome. Stay safe. Dr. Michael Greger, happy Christmas.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
What did Dame Judi Dench, Susan Boyle and Brian Blessed have in common? Letting our next guest borrow their dulcet tones. His latest album, Blessings, is out now, and he's here to give us a warm, cosy hug after a testing year. Ladies and gentlemen, there's snowman like this man. It's Alan Jones!
All right, Alan!
Hey, wow! Good morning. What an introduction. Thank you very much.
I love your book, Alan Jones' Everyday Blessings. It's the kind of book we've all thought about bringing out, but we couldn't be bothered. You've done it, so congratulations, well done.
I had nothing else to do, Chris. I'm not busy like you, that's why.
It's brilliant.
You know what? I've,
It's a thought a day, really isn't it?
Yeah, it's an uplifting thought a day from everyone from the Dalai Lama to John Lennon. And every day of the year has a kind of a blessing, if you like. And because, as you say, I had a bit of time on my hands, I've put them all into different themes. So themes of love, themes of, you know, freedom and happiness and some endless summers and stuff like that. And so some little bird tells me that you were born on April the 1st.
Yeah, I've just done the same thing. I've just gone to the page.
Everyone,
I thought we could
that.
All do our birthdays. Off you go.
Well, yours is lovely. It says, it's impossible, said pride. It's risky, said experience. It's pointless, said reason. Give it a try, whispered the heart.
Yeah, and get onto the lawyers, said Charlie Mackesy. Because that's straight out of the boy, the mole, the fox and the horses, isn't it? It's got to be. Right, birthday, please, Vassos.
June the 4th.
June the 4th. Go on, Allard, June the 4th.
June the 4th is... Nigerian prayer, may togetherness of this earth continue to guide us, and may the divine bring peace and understanding to protect the world.
Wasted on him. Absolutely wasted on him, that one.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, never mind. Rachel?
May 29th,
May
please.
May 29th, please, Allard.
Right, here we go. May 29th is... This is Henry Ward Beecher, and it says, the unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but the thankful heart will find in every hour some heavenly blessing.
Except on a Monday, because she doesn't come to work.
I'm finding my blessings elsewhere on a Monday.
Are you?
Oh, where going? Are you finding them?
Yeah. In the woods with my dog on
amen,
a walk.
Amen, amen, okay. And hallelujah. favorite, top three favourites from the book, Allard?
I love a John Lennon one. John Lennon says, when I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment, and I told them they didn't understand life.
Oh, my goodness me.
And that's good, isn't it?
How apt, because today, the anniversary, 40th anniversary of his passing, that's nice.
Absolutely.
Give us another.
Okay, we have got another anonymous one. It says, the past cannot be changed. The future is yet in your power.
Like that, okay. So tell us about this new album.
Do you know the album? I just wanted to bring it out because it's an album that celebrates what puts us together rather than sets us apart. So it's an album of all faiths and none. I sing with one of the biggest selling Muslim singer-songwriters in the world. Judy Dench is on there reading some Quaker words. I've got Brian Blessed on Silent Night. You wouldn't put Brian Blessed and Silent anything together. And Susan Boyle on Bless This House. And it's just an album that celebrates, I suppose, joy, happiness, kindness, all the things we need in our lives right now.
Yeah, if people could only buy one, which would you prefer them to buy? Or which would you advise them to buy?
That is the most evil thing
to ask. Come on, I know you love all your children, but you have to make a choice here.
No, but I prefer my daughter. Yeah, you're right. No, I would go, they go perfectly well together, Chris.
No, it's like when I take the twins out, twins are just over two now, right? And they can move now, they can really shift, whether on the balance bikes, on the scooters, even on the skateboards, or just run. And when one's heading towards the river and the other one's heading towards the road, I have to make these decisions on a daily basis, right? And there's loads of variables involved there. A, which one do I like, first of all, most? B, which one has the most potential to become a successful human being? C, which at that moment is most potentially most fatal, the river or the road, depending on the river traffic.
That's a tricky
or the road
one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but anyway, this doesn't... it's distracting you for a second, but I've bought you enough time now, so I need an answer. The book
will... I would definitely go with the one that says blessings in the title.
All right, OK. See, we're not going to get him on this, are we?
No.
Although he did...
That's
the
evil question anyone's asked me.
Which child you prefer? You'll say which child you prefer, but not...
Which one of your products available?
But the products I love
them
equally.
We edit that bit out.
Yeah, well, when it comes to shifting units, for heaven's sake, she wouldn't have a ready break in the morning if it wasn't for my books and my albums. She should be grateful.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Alice, what are you doing for the rest of the day, my friend?
I am probably going to do a bit of shopping, Chris. That's about it. Taking it easy today. And, you know what it's like when you've got an album and a single out. So, you know, it's all good, clean fun. I'm looking forward to Christmas and just being with the family, to be honest with you.
All right, and how is Jeremy Vine on Channel 5?
The same as usual. He talks like no one else talks, wearing those flashy shirts.
And did you have to comment on the day's papers and things as well?
I didn't. That's one good thing to come out of all this, because I do everything from the house.
Of course you do. I keep forgetting.
So, yeah, you can't go into the studios. So, yeah, no, I just talked about the book and the album. That was it. And so, yeah, they did the papers.
All right, mate. When's your birthday?
December the 29th.
Let's have a look.
Which is a rubbish time.
Come on.
Rubbish time.
What does it say for you?
It says, never look back unless you're planning to go that way.
Wow.
Well, you wrote it. It sounds like you just read it for the first time. Oh, it was going so well. Oh, that's good. He's thinking. It's in your book.
You know, I've never looked up my birthday.
Listeners, buy the album. Go for the album. This is Snake Oil. Suddenly it's Snake Oil. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, hey, Chris, always great to catch up
Cheers,
with you, mate.
If only you meant it. It's great to talk to him. Alan Jones.
He prefers his daughter.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.